At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside, and the boys are back. DRS, a shout out to you, Davis Maddock, Joe Ranieri, our guys behind the scenes, Joe Friso and John Shames, for holding down the fort over this past week while I was across the pond in foggy old London town. But I am glad to be back with you live right here on this Thursday and for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. The NBA and NHL playoffs roar on. Major League Baseball, we go around the bigs, and it's a huge Thursday as well as we head to the Motor City for the opening round. Round number one of the 2024 NFL Draft. 3 hours together, DRS. It feels like we never miss a beat.
Fantastic, man. Good to have you back in the fold here, and a big moment tonight, obviously, on the Sports Grid Network as the boys will be live in studio breaking it all down. But before we get there, Ben, we got to start the tables here for the NBA. Major League Baseball, huge card this afternoon. Triple header back in the NBA. Upsets all the way around. And you know me, Ben, when I say it sometimes, is 3 hours enough? I don't know, honestly, if it is today. What an action-packed show we got.
I hear there's a new clock that we abide by now. So much can change in a couple days off from the Spiz group. Okay. We'll see you next. No, just kidding. We're ready to go here in our first couple of minutes to start off a huge and jam-packed Thursday show on the Early Line. And speaking of upsets, that's where we begin. Around the association, game number two of the Eastern Conference playoffs between the top seed in the conference, the best team in the NBA, the Boston Celtics, and the shorthanded Miami Heat. But regardless of where the Heat stack up in a playoff run, there is going to be that Heat culture and that Miami Magic. The Heat pull off a stunner last night inside TD Garden to upset the Celtics in even this opening round series at a game all. 111-101. Miami hits a franchise record 23 three-pointers in a playoff game to win outright as a 14.5-point underdog in Boston, handing the Celtics, DRS, only their fifth home loss in 43 regular season and postseason games inside TD Garden this season.
Outrageous. If you wanted to ask me about one basketball game that I was sure one team was going to win yesterday or for the past couple days, it would have been the Boston Celtics. The question for us in this, you know, format was, will we even get to a game number five? Yeah. Because it looks like the Boston Celtics were going to steamroll the Miami Heat. But Ben, how many times do we talk about this, particularly in college basketball, when you're talking about a big underdog? What's the ultimate equalizer always? It's the three-point line. If you're saying you're an underdog and the only way we can win is heave a lot of three-point shots up and hope they go in, well, that happened for the Miami Heat last night, Ben. Yep. You take a look. 54% as a team, and from volume, 23 of 43. There's nothing the other team can do when you're filling up the bucket from the three-point line. Impressive win for the Miami Heat. Down at the break, crushed in game number one, pull away 1-1, and the only thought process for me on the Miami Heat is, man, I wish Jimmy Butler could heal up quick and get back for this series, because I didn't expect to be a series at all. And also, Ben, we're not saying we're going to six or seven games, but my goodness, I was so impressed with the Miami Heat last night. But isn't that what we're supposed to expect from Eric Spoelstra and the crew? Great win by the Heat.
Yeah, Now the Celtics still remain a minus 2,500 favorite to win this series outright. But we give the Heat their flowers as long as they will have it. And because Jimmy Butler did not play, did not mean he still did not take to social media to talk a little bit of smack. Of course, Jaylen Brown and the Seas were down 3-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals against this Miami team a year ago. And Jaylen Brown famously or infamously said, "Don't let us get one." Jimmy Butler did the same last night on social media. Tyler Hero, a team high 24 points for Miami. He hit 6 triples. Caleb Martin, welcome back to the postseason. He hit 5 threes and added in 21 points. And that shorthanded Heat team, even without Jimmy Butler, all 5 starters score in double figures. They went outright as a 14.5-point favorite, a total that crept down to 205 at a hook just prior to tip inside TD Garden last night, does go over. So now we go to the other game with a doubleheader in the NBA postseason last night. The Oklahoma City Thunder hosting the New Orleans Pelicans in game number 2. OKC looked a little bit shaky to start off their playoff run as the top seed in the Western Conference, but they did storm back for a game 1 victory, 94-92, over New Orleans over the weekend. Last night, they didn't look young. They didn't look scared. They were ready to go. And they won big at home in Oklahoma City. The Thunder roll. The Pels last night, 124-92. Oklahoma City DRS easily covering as a 7.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, impressive performance by OKC. I liked game number 1 with their victory. It was like, okay, we're the number 1 seed. We know we are. Let's hold on. Let's get a victory. And now we can proceed and act like the number 1 seed, which they did yesterday, easily dispatching of the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, so many times we talk about, like, hey, did you get a good bench performance? Forget about that. Let's see what the superstars did and the starters did here for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Yeah. Holmgren, 26. Williams, 21. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 33. Giddey, 13. Dort, 15. And look at the plus minus on those starters. They handled their business, Ben, right from the jump, taking a 35-22 lead at the end of the first quarter and never looked back. If you look at OKC, the question mark's coming from the regular season for me, Ben, where how can they hold up in the playoffs because it's a different animal. Now you're seeing the confidence of OKC. Yep. This is what's supposed to happen with the number 1 seed.
And listen, as a young home team, as even the 1 seed in the playoffs, it's the first time for this core in true playoff games. But when you look at the core, and SGA scores 33, and Chet Holmgren pours in 26, and Jalen Williams scores 21 as well, combining for 80 of the 124 OKC scored as a whole, that is a very bright and optimistic future for Oklahoma City, already showing off here in the postseason. Now we go to the ice in the National Hockey League. The Stanley Cup postseason rolls on. 3 games last night in the NHL. The Bruins get a victory. The reigning Stanley Cup champs, the Golden Knights, get a win. And the Kings pull off the upset in Edmonton over the Oilers in a big matchup as well out in the Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah, you could probably say maybe the stunner would be the Kings there, right? And as we always know, the Maple Leafs struggles in round number 1 of the playoffs. But you got to hand it to the Golden Knights on the road against one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NHL, the Dallas Stars, going up 3-1 there in that game yesterday for a 2-0 series lead before you even get back to play in Vegas. Big night on the ice.
Yeah, huge, because Dallas was that home ice favorite last night. Not for the Vegas Golden Knights, who went outright as an underdog. The Kings take the Oilers to OT in Edmonton and win 5-4 in the Bruins. Now a 2-1 series lead as well in the opening round of the postseason. The Bees, who had the best regular season record a year ago, only to get bounced by the Florida Panthers in the opening round of the Stanley Cup postseason, looking to exact some revenge. So the NFL draft in Detroit tonight, but it was a big day in Detroit yesterday for the Lions. They extend their stars Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver, and Penei Sewell gets a 4-year, $120 million extension, the highest paid offensive tackle in the National Football League.
Pay your superstars. If they're worth money to you, they're worth money to the team itself. Love what Detroit does, because everybody now happy in that locker room, Ben, which isn't the case around the league.
Not always the case, especially in Cincinnati. And the natural comparisons were made between Penei Sewell, who was drafted just behind Ja'Marr Chase a few years ago. Ja'Marr Chase's contract extension, a different conversation. T. Higgins, under the franchise tag, demanded a trade. Trey Hendrickson, the outstanding edge rusher for Cincy, also demanding a trade yesterday, Donnie.
Yeah, let's start with Trey Hendrickson quickly here. 17.5 sacks last year, 3 straight Pro Bowls. He's outlived his contract. Pay that man. But if you know, being a Bengals fan for a long time, the owner goes, oh, You got a contract. You better live up to it. That's not the way it works. Cincinnati Bengals fans, I'm sorry. You just can't have nice things.
Yeah, that is not looking optimistic for Cincinnati this offseason. We'll see what happens around the draft tonight. Back to the NBA quickly. Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves pulls off a small upset and wins sixth man of the year. Entering last weekend, Sacramento's Malik Monk was a minus 280 favorite in the PGA Tour, rewarding their guys for staying on the tour and not jumping ship to live. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, among those golfers on the PGA Tour, receiving some money for their loyalty. Back around the association. NBA playoff recap coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A stunner last night in Boston in game number 2 of the NBA playoffs in that opening round series out east between the Celtics and the Miami Heat. It does not matter, DRS, where Miami is, who's on the floor in a playoff run. They are going to give you your best shot each and every night. And the Heat did that in game number 2. Shorthanded, of course, Jimmy Butler not going to play more than likely in this opening round series, regardless of the duration against Boston. But everybody else showed out, especially from deep. A franchise record in a playoff game. 23 converted three-pointers last night for the Heat as they pull off the huge upset over the Celtics, 111-101. Miami closed as a 14.5-point underdog, and they win outright by double digits behind those 23 made threes.
It's incredible. It's outrageous. It's so much fun to watch, and it just reminds us that, you know, that football moniker, Ben, we talk about any given Sunday, it's really true in the NBA as well. You do have professionals on both sides, and also a lot of these guys, when they get hot, can stem the tide of a much better team. We looked at this game yesterday. The spread was you can equate it to football. It was 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
14.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook yesterday. And also, shout out to the people, Ben. The Fade the Public poll, you know who the public was backing yesterday? The Miami Heat in the lead, getting 14.5 points, as both myself and Davis sort of scoffed at that. Like, yeah, of course, the public's going to see a lot of points. It's a playoff game. It's an NBA team. Got to back them. And they were exactly right yesterday. The only shame of it was is instead of taking the points, you should have just taken the money line. And what a bonanza that would have been. But back to the game itself. The Miami Heat, 111 points. This isn't really how they want to win basketball games. You figure they got to go back to the 1990s with Pat Riley. Like, hey, we got to win games 88-86 because we just can't keep up. But shout out Spo by going, you know what? The only way we're winning this game is if we absolutely go nuketown from three-point range. Now, granted, you can say that, Ben, and shoot 43 threes and make 9 of them and get blown out, but they made 23 three-point shots, which included Tyler Hero dropping 6 of those here. If you would have told me before the game, we got to go nuclear from three-point range. All right, watch this. Kevin Love's going to come off the bench and knock down 5 or 6. He didn't even make a three-point shot or shoot a three-point shot, and they still made 23 three-point shots as a team. Boy, I loved watching that game there. It's just a shame, again, getting back to the original point. Man, if Jimmy Butler could come back and be healthy, what a series we might have. But, as you said, still a heavy favorite here towards the Celtics.
Yeah, they are. And we'll look at the series price and the outlook moving forward. But when you pay forward what we saw in game number 2 from game number 1, same exact spread, 14.5 in favor of the Celtics. For a guy that was across the pond in London over the past week, I'm like, what is going on here? And then, of course, I made sure to know what Jimmy Butler's status was for game number 2 and this series. But Boston rolled Miami, and there seemed like there was going to be very little shot despite Heat culture in the postseason under Spo, regardless of what Miami looked like on the floor in this series, especially inside TD Garden, as the Celtics won by 20 in game number 1 and covered as that 14.5 point home favorite. Boston this year at home, part of the reason having home floor advantage we thought was so crucial for the C's, the RS, throughout this playoff run, Eastern Conference, and perhaps the NBA Finals, is because they entered last night. 41 regular season games, game number 1 against Miami, 38-4 straight up at home, booked as a favorite in all 42 games and 23-17-2 against the number. They lose outright as a 14.5 point favorite against Miami. 23 made threes. Miami was 12 of 37 in game number one from deep. They were 23 of 43 last night in Boston. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum weren't all that bad, DRS. 28 out of Tatum, 33 for Jaylen Brown. They combined for 61 points, and yet Miami still wins by double digits.
You're right. Look at the box score there. 46% as a team from the floor. Not bad. 38% from three-point range. That's actually very good. Okay from the free throw line at about 71%. But you're right. Just give me the box score and tell me. Jason Tatum had 28. Brown had 33. That's probably a blowout win where you would cover the minus 14 and a half yesterday. The one, like, error I could say was 30 minutes out of Porzingis, a minus 32, which included a 1 for 9 from the field and an 0 for 4 from three-point range. Now, Porzingis have been playing quite well for the Celtics this year, and particularly down the stretch and had a nice game number one, but it didn't work out in his favor there. You look up and down that lineup for the Celtics, and you expect great things. Why? Because we do think they're the best team in the NBA overall, and there's no panic here like, oh my goodness, home court advantage is now for the Heat. Watch out, Boston Celtics. You would have to go nuclear in every game for the Miami Heat from three-point range to have a chance to take down the Celtics. We know that's not going to happen. You team that doesn't used to shoot tons of three-point shots, it works one night, but you know the adjustments are going to be made from the Boston Celtics as they go on the road, and we'll see what happens. But that's an unbelievable win for the Heat, and it's just one of those things we talk about, Heat culture and Eric Spoelstra. Just when you think they're down and out, the zombie Heat roster lineup sometimes that they put out in like February, like, this team isn't even any starters in the lineup. Oh, look at that. They went on the road and won basketball games. This is what they're about, and I just love the fact that we're going to get more basketball, Ben. At least we get five games out of this series, and I can buy that.
And when you look at the roster last night, Jaime Jaquez, three threes. Nikola Jovic, three threes. Caleb Martin, who had a huge postseason run for Miami a year ago, five triples. Of course, Tyler Hero, the team's leading scorer, with 24 and six made threes. But Haywood Highsmith off the bench, three made threes. Duncan Robinson, who might be their best overall shooter, just 2 of 7, and they still are 23 of 43, a franchise record in terms of made threes in a playoff game last night. So the Celtics entered game number two as a 14.5-point home favorite and a minus 50,000 outright favorite to win this series. They're still heftily favored, minus 2,500, but the books are buying back in. So, DRS, what do you make of the rest of this series? Can Miami push Boston to 6 or 7 games, or is that their one blimp on the radar and from here on out Boston is refocused and they roll Miami?
Sometimes you need this, Ben, and I know nobody likes to take losses, I get that, but if you're Joe Mazzulla, you say, okay, now I get in the locker room, you guys ready to listen? You guys ready not just to roll that basketball out? You want to watch a little bit extra film? You want to put this Miami Heat team away? I would watch out for game number three, because I think you're going to get an unbelievable effort from the Boston Celtics. We're not knocking the Miami Heat. You know, they're the 8th seed for a reason and not as good as the Boston Celtics, and they're supposed to lose this series. But now I think the Boston Celtics get that beating on their home court. I'm like, you know what, guys? Let's not let this happen again. Watch out in game number three.
The Celtics open as an 8-point road favorite in South Beach Saturday night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. I'll have one final point about the series odds, because I think there's a few discrepancies that do favor Boston. Up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A doubleheader of NBA playoff action on a Wednesday. We'll recap what we saw in Oklahoma City in just a moment. But both of the top seeds in either conference in action around the association last night. And of course, Miami pulls off the stunner to even the series at one game apiece. But we still see the odds heavily skewed in favor of Boston. And rightfully so. But Donnie, let's look at the odds again. Because the Celtics are a minus 2,500 outright favorite to win this series. For the series to go five games, that's the total games market, it's minus 130. If you went in the correct score market, Boston to win in five, 4-1, it's minus 125 currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But the Celtics on the series spread, as you saw, to cover a 2.5 game number is just minus 110. That would be Boston in five games. So the odds makers still expect the Celtics to win in five. There's your best price. I'm going to bet it, although these commercial breaks are very short, in our next one.
Yeah, there you go. Might be able. Yeah, you don't make the, you don't want to make those mistakes, Ben, with these quick breaks and be like, okay, I just bet the minus 2,500 when I didn't mean to do that at that point. But you're right about that. If Boston is supposed to win this series easily here, they're probably going to handle their business at that minus 2.5 to get the much, much better price. But kudos to anybody out there who goes, no. I like Boston, but this is going 7. They're going to win it in 7. I'll lay the minus 2,500. Yeah. Congratulations on that. But yes, not very smart betting if you're going to go that way. And you got a lot to lose, particularly if they lose the series. We don't think they're losing the series is the point here. But the better bet is to take a look at that 5 games and or the minus 2.5.
Listen, if that is your feel, that last night was a representation of what the Heat do in the playoffs and how they're going to test a Boston team that has left a lot to be desired over the past few years, then don't listen to what I said. I still believe in Boston getting this done rather quickly, despite the big hiccup last night in what Miami presents in playoff basketball. Now to the number one overall seed in the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who despite being the top overall seed, a young core that prior to this past weekend had not played a true playoff game altogether. And it showed 43-43 at the break down early in the third. They rallied there, of course, in the fourth quarter and held on at the very end, 94-92 over New Orleans. So OKC got that test. And then they used it to have more proven experience, as we saw last night. The Oklahoma City Thunder win huge by more than 30, 124-92 at home to take a 2-0 series lead over New Orleans. The Thunder cover easily as a 7.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, take the fluke out of the equation for OKC. And I know it's still early in the series. They're up 0-2 or 2-0, and that's where you should be heading into your road opponent here, which is the Pelicans. But hear me out on this. You know, through the regular season, we're looking at Oklahoma's, you know what? The pressure's going to build up in the playoffs. And I continually get back to game number one. Love the fact that they won that in a close margin because you know as well as I do. You can say whatever you want, Ben. Like, yeah, well, look at the regular season. We're supposed to be the number one seed. You don't know until you've proven the playoffs. And the Thunder haven't been able to do that. Now, who knows, Ben, if they're going to go on a run to the Western Conference Finals or even win the Western Conference and head to the NBA Finals. But I love the fact that they're coming out against a team they're supposed to beat, win game number one, then settle in and be like, you know what, guys? We're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be the top seed. We're supposed to win these games and absolutely hammer the Pelicans. I love the fact that you got that balanced scoring out of that starting five. And by the way, shout out SGA, who can't score under 30 points, but certainly isn't allowed to cross the 35-point threshold. He always winds up in the low 30s here. Hits his number, which was 29.5 yesterday. Great win for OKC. Better things are on the horizon because I think they're settling into, like, you know what? Yeah, we're supposed to be here, Ben.
And we saw some market movement from the odds, both in the spread and the total entering game number two last night. Oklahoma City, 9-point favorite for game one. The Pels cover. New Orleans, the best underdog team in the NBA, but now 21-12-1 against the spread. Total for game one was 216.5. Stayed well under. Neither team got to 95 points. The total dropped by 5 points from game one to game two to 11.5 last night. And it goes over because Oklahoma City scored 124. But the Thunder have been one of the best cover teams around the NBA all year long, on display last night. Now, as a home favorite in OKC this year, the Thunder 24-13 against the spread. So Oklahoma City, minus 3,000 to win this series outright in advance of the Western Conference semifinals. How quickly do you think Oklahoma City does that?
I think this is actually going to be a 5-game series. I do, because I do think the Pelicans are talented. It's still road. And also, Ben, we talk about still learning for OKC. Road environment in the playoffs, facing adversity. They might drop one of those games, I do believe, to the Pelicans here. But when they get home in game number five, if they do split, they'll be able to wrap up business. 5 games here is what this should go for round number one.
I completely agree. Gentlemen, sweep, but I would actually think 6 games may be more likely than a sweep outright for OKC. Where has the market moved early in the NBA playoffs? We'll show you up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. It's NFL draft day, but of course it's the NBA postseason. Following a very interesting doubleheader last night that featured both of the number one seeds in either conference, we reset where the market is now after the first few games of this NBA postseason before we change venues in a triple header of Game 3 action on this Thursday. So, Donnie, on the left side of this graphic, we will show, it's where the odds were entering the playoffs just before this weekend got started. In the middle, it's where the odds to win an NBA championship stack up at this current juncture. And of course, on the right side, you'll see some movement, or we'll detail what that movement looks like. So, the Celtics were plus 120 to win the NBA title before the playoffs started. Despite losing last night to Miami, their price is still 5 cents shorter at plus 115. The Nuggets have looked like the defending and reigning champs. Their price has shortened by 70 cents. The Thunder's price has gotten shorter as well. The Mavericks' price longer. The 76ers in that 0-2 hole have seen their price more than triple at this moment at 60-1. The Clippers' number longer with some injury uncertainty for LA, but the Timberwolves have seen their price shorten by nearly double figures by $8. Which number, Donnie, of those top seven prices listed stands out to you the most?
You're probably looking at where I can get the most value at right at this point, because, you know, we can't say, I took this at the beginning of the season. Like, no, we're focused on the here and now, which means when the playoffs started and just a couple games into the environment. You pointed out as well, we haven't even changed venues yet. So obviously the Boston Celtics, nobody's panicking here based on what we saw 1-1. Oh, no, they can lose. But at the same time, I think this proves the point where the Celtics are in game number one and game number two of their series. The Celtics are supposed to be the NBA champions. They're supposed to easily dispatch of the Miami Heat, who we think the Heat aren't all that talented. Now, granted, it's a little bit disrespectful. They're still an NBA team. Eric Spoelstra, one of the best coaches. You get the point there. But they already lost a game on their home court. So I look at the Boston Celtics and say, even if I still think they're the best team, and they probably beat the Heat in five. Do you see this, though? Yeah. The Heat aren't a great basketball team, and we might be in for an extended series, meaning could it go six games? That's not a plus 115 price. You know what I want to pay a plus 115 price on, Ben? If I won the first two games by 35 points, and it looks like I'm not even going to get a challenge until I take on, let's just say, the Denver Nuggets. So you pass on the Denver Nuggets. You see how that, like, I love the Nuggets, and I think they're going to easily win their first round series as they're up 2-0, and as I thought that before the series even started. But again, a plus 250 price to get through that craziness in the Western Conference, then only to face the Boston Celtics, as we think, in the finals, that's not a good enough price. But then you start to look at teams saying, boy, OKC, if they hit it right here at a 12-1 price, boy, that makes sense. Maybe I didn't want to take them before the playoffs started because this could have been one of those, oh my goodness, OKC's down 0-2 heading back to New Orleans and Zion's coming back. This was terrible. I told you OKC shouldn't have been a number one seed. Yeah. But now you see them mature right in front of your eyes based on game number one, the game number two, and the feelings as we're supposed to be the one seeds, and now we're playing it like here. The one team I'm probably not buying yet, right? Let's just go to the top four teams. The New York Knicks at 14-1. Love what they've done. No. Stole a game in game two against the Philadelphia 76ers, but I don't like that price point either at 14-1. So if we're just looking at the top markets here, I like the Timberwolves 16-1, but OKC really has my eye because what wins out, Ben? Worst case scenario, home court advantage is yours if you just handle your business.
I mean, look at those odds. Again, Boston is plus 115, despite being tied at a game apiece in their opening round series and being stunned on their own home floor last night by Miami. Their price is still 5 cents shorter than where it was just about five, 6 days ago. Denver is not all that far behind at plus 250. And then we have a drop-off of nearly $10 to Oklahoma City. The odds makers expect, as they did near the end of the home stretch of the NBA regular season, for Boston to win the East, Denver to win the West, and those two teams to face off with an NBA championship on the line. If you even want to find some value because the Boston price is too short and you think there's a couple holes in the Celtics at this moment and you want the exact matchup, it's still plus 175 for Boston versus Denver. Not great value there. To pick the winner of said series, then you find a longer, loftier number at this moment, but I'm not sure there's great value in doing such a thing. The New York Knicks have seen their price grow drastically shorter at 14-1. Donnie, you and I both made the argument at this point just over a week ago that the value in the Eastern Conference was on Philly. Did not expect them to be in an 0-2 hole before they return home for game number three tonight against the Knickerbockers. starters, but thus they are. The team that really stands out to me, the Phoenix Suns, 75-1 now, 24-1 entering this weekend. I thought I was prudent jumping on Phoenix around the All-Star break at a 12-1 number with the big three all in action and expecting this version of the Suns to make a playoff run. If they don't, what's the hope in the Valley? 24-1 before the playoffs began. Now 75-1. Their price has tripled to win an NBA championship.
It is wild because the talent isn't matching up to what we're getting out of the Phoenix Suns. And talking with Davis here over the past couple of days, you look at the Phoenix Suns, like, Ben, they're not built to get swept in round number one of a playoff round.
No.
Like, they have three of the best players in the NBA on their team. And that's all we asked for was, hey, guys, can you just get to the playoffs and be healthy? We don't even care if you played all that much. Talent is going to stand out. And certainly talent does. But the Minnesota Timberwolves also, you know, sort of being that number one type seed all year long, losing Karl Anthony Towns, slipping down. Yeah. They're an unbelievably good basketball team. Superstar players, good coaching there, and playing great defense. That's holding up right now against the Suns. But still, you look at that 75-1 price. Because keep in mind, too, the Suns didn't have home court advantage, Ben, where you're saying, it's like, look, man, this got beat twice on their home court. There's no way they can win this series. You can actually see this series going back to Minneapolis at a 2-2 tie. But then still, it's the best of three, and it's home court advantage still towards the Minnesota Timberwolves. So yeah, I agree with you here. If you're looking at long shot prices, you take a flyer on the Sixers, you take a flyer on the Suns. And I always say this to keep in mind. Donnie, the Suns aren't winning the championship, and neither are the Sixers. It doesn't matter at that price point. They win a series, you're profitable here. So you're just betting on them saying, you know what? I better take them now because game number threes are kitchen sink games. And what I mean by that is you better win or the series is over. So that price point is going to be much better right now if you figure they're going to win game three than after game three if they win that ball game.
It's a really great point. Both teams booked as a home favorite in game number three. Philly tonight against New York, the 76ers laying five. The Suns tomorrow night back in the Valley, a four-point favorite at this moment against Minnesota. And just to compare, Philly is plus 350 to win its opening round series outright against New York. Out west, it's also a plus 350 price for Phoenix. Again, the books are saying there's a little bit of hope that these teams can make a run. And these prices are incredibly volatile as we get deeper and deeper into an NBA postseason. And they change on a nightly basis. If the Suns and or Sixers win in game number three, those numbers are going to be a lot closer to a plus 175 or so number than they are right now at plus 350. Some big plus money prices then to win an NBA championship. And by no means are Donnie and I saying they are going to win that NBA championship or even their conference crown. But I do appreciate the point, Donnie, on Oklahoma City. 12-1 price, third best number. If you're looking for value for a team that you actually expect to be there at the end of the race, the Thunder might present that.
Yes, and I agree with that. And also, there's one of the we expect Boston to be there. And the reason why I'm bringing up the Boston Celtics is they're great. They've been there before. They've made deep runs. OKC doesn't know how to win yet, so they're learning on the fly. Every single game that they play now, and they pick up victories, Ben, as we said, now moving to a road playoff game where you're supposed to win that series here, I love it. You get OKC through this first round, watch out, because they're going to be sky high believing in themselves even more than saying, hey, guys, we have the number one seed. We're supposed to be here. We don't see it until we don't believe it until we see it.
Right.
And you're going to see this live. Let's go, OKC. I think there's value.
Home court advantage in OKC as well. The Thunder, as we shared, now 24-13 against the spread as a home favorite this year. And that sampling of the top five to start off the playoffs, maybe a little bit different than we expected even down the home stretch of the NBA regular season. Regular season is one thing. We always expect the cream to rise to the top in the playoffs. Hasn't really been the case, at least as expected, just yet. Major League Baseball recap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Daily Diamond Dash all around Major League Baseball live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line. In Cincinnati, we begin between the Reds and the Phils. The Philadelphia Phillies off to a really strong start this year, DRS, and booked as a road favorite yesterday in the Great American Ballpark, but it did not go their way. They had won 7 straight prior to this set in Cincinnati. The Reds have taken the first 2. Cincy winning yesterday at home, 7-4 over the Phils. Again, as that slight home underdog in the Great American Ballpark.
Bryce Harper on paternity leave here, and certainly that offense isn't being helped out by him missing in the lineup. But also, I tell you what doesn't help out. After Nick Castellanos, who is a full-time starter, bats in the cleanup hole with Merrifield, Sosa, Pache, Rojas, and Stubbs were the remaining parts of the lineup for the Phillies. So it looks like one of those games like, hey, let the young guys get out there and see what happens. Next had a 3-1 lead yesterday going into the sixth inning, or after the half of the top half of the sixth inning. They give up 4 runs there. But I got to tell you, the bright spot again, typically is the Philadelphia Phillies starting pitchers. The day before Sanchez was on the mound, he didn't technically get lit up, gave up a lot of runs, but they were unearned runs. Yep. Take a look at yesterday. Turnbull was on the mound. 5 innings pitched, 1 earned run, out deals Lodolo, who had 5 innings pitched and 3 earned runs. You're supposed to win that game, but the bullpen failed the Philadelphia Phillies yesterday. It's a long season. The Phillies dropped to 15-10, and the Reds are a decent home ball club as well, now sitting at 9-6 overall. Good comeback by the Reds yesterday, but the Phillies probably feel like they let one get slip away in a game where they weren't putting their best lineup out there and were trying to get a victory, weren't able to do so.
The Reds 14-10, 9-6 at home in Cincy. The Phils, as DRS mentioned, still 15-10 to start off this year. Alec Bohm got off to a great start for Philadelphia. He hit both RBIs that scored the opening 2 runs of the game for Philly. 7-4, really back and forth momentum throughout this game in Cincinnati. But ultimately, it wasn't until that final run scored by Cincy that the game was at its largest margin, 3 in favor of the Reds. Next up, we go to Atlanta, where it took extra innings and a RBI there. I'm forgetting his name. Michael Harris, thank you. Game-winning RBI double that scored Ronald Acuna Jr. that gave the Braves the win, 4-3. Over the lowly Miami Marlins. Atlanta was a -270 favorite. Wild play in the top of the ninth. Errors leading to 2 runs for the Fish that tied the game at 3 apiece to send it to those extra frames. But in the bottom of the 10th, again, the RBI double for Michael Harris the second. Scores Ronald Acuna Jr. Game decided. Atlanta wins 4-3 in extras.
Yeah, Ronaldo Lopez, how about that? 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run for the Braves. Were you looking for some of these other guys that you didn't anticipate to start the season being full-time pitchers? The Braves are getting by, 17-6 now. And also, you're right about that. Top of the ninth inning, you do see that the Marlins tied that game up. Quite frankly, they probably should have taken the lead if they just got some more solid at-bats behind it. Weren't able to do so, go to extras, and you know, in the top of the 10th inning, when you don't score, you're probably going to take a loss because the home team's going to be like, you know what? Let's just move the runner from second to third base and deal with that here. I have a different strategy I would like to use, and I understand that we have a 162-game schedule. You don't want to play the long game as the road team. You're looking to say, let's score 2 runs here because then the home team's probably only going to score 1. I get that, but Marlins lose yesterday 6-20, Ben, on the season.
Oof. Yeah. Not a good year for Miami at this moment. Now we go, or Atlanta at this moment, I should say, 17-6. The team that we expected to be one of the best in the bigs is exactly that. The best record as of this moment on win percentage in all of MLB. 17-6, 0.739 win percentage for Atlanta. But entering yesterday at 17-6, the best record belonged to the Cleveland Guardians. But they got blanked at home. 8-0 by the Boston Red Sox. A huge game for Boston at the dish as the Red Sox win 8-0. They win outright as a very short underdog in Cleveland. The Guardians -124 entering. They had won 8 of their last 9 entering yesterday's game against the Sox, and that was their 6th game against Boston this year. Cleveland has still won 4 of the 6, but the Red Sox get their second win against the Guardians.
How about Connor Wong yesterday? 4 of 4, 3 RBI with 2 home runs yesterday. And also, Rafael Devers lifted his average to .231. Hasn't had a great season by any stretch, but went 3 for 4 yesterday with 2 RBI shots. Boston now 14-11 in a stacked American League East. But the Guardians, you know, look, understand it. It's a long season. You're 17-6. Tough scene to get beat 8-0 at home here by the Boston Red Sox, not envisioning them making the playoffs. We're talking about the Red Sox, but the Guardians, good ball club here, just didn't work out in their favor yesterday. They got hammered. It is what it is.
17-7 for Cleveland, but still the best mark in the American League Central. And the Guardians now an even money favorite to win the AL Central, because the team that entered the year as the favorites to win this division, who did a season ago, the Minnesota Twins, off to a sluggish start. Despite winning three straight games, the Twins still 10-13. But as we keep our focus on the American League Central, one of those surprising teams at the top, the Kansas City Royals, now 15-10 this year, five games above 500, as they get a victory yesterday at home, despite being an underdog 3-2 over Toronto. 15-10 for KC, a young club that has shown an optimistic beginning to this 2024 Major League Baseball campaign.
Let's take a look at two sides of the equation for Kansas City. Yesterday, I liked RBI props there for Bobby Witt Jr. He cashed just one in, and also Salvador Perez, he cashed one in. But it's also the lineup where you say the young guys, Bobby Witt Jr., hitting 317 on the season in the two-hole here. Salvador Perez is close to 40 years old. He's hitting 348 this season after night went 2 of 3. And my only error last night, if there ever was one, I needed Perez to get two RBI last night, Ben. I had the perfect situation. Second and third with one out here as Salvador Perez comes to the plate. And you know what happens when hitters are hot? They walk them to first base. I didn't even get a chance to swing the bat last night, get a ground out, and get that second RBI. Tough scene all the way around, but I like what I see out of Kansas City here. 15-10 on the season. If anybody entered this, hey, look, Kansas City's five games over 500. Like, what are they, 6-1 after the first seven games? They got lucky. No, after 25 games, 15-10. It's good performance for the Royals out there.
And when you look at the division, Kansas City still the fourth best price out of five. Now, the White Sox are super long at 500-1, but KC plus 550, still $4.50 behind the Cleveland Guardians, but they're only behind Cleveland by 2.5 games, still a very long way to go in this Major League Baseball season. Salvi, by the way, isn't all that close to 40. He's only 33 years old, but
I
still the
38.
Second most.
No?
No, 33. Wow. He was born in 1990.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Yeah, I read that wrong.
Yeah.
He looks 38.
Put some respect on
45.
His... Come on, man. Second most RBIs in Major League Baseball, 23 for Salvador Perez. For MLB recaps up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Something is happening to the Houston Astros, and it is not good for a team that has reached the American League Championship Series seven consecutive seasons. It's not May, although it's pretty close to the calendar changing to a new month. But Houston continues to struggle. Yesterday against the Cubs, who scored all four of their runs in the bottom of the first and then just held on against the Astros in Wrigley, Chicago gets a 4-3 win over Houston. The Astros, Donnie, the American League pennant favorites entering this season, are now 7-18, second worst record in the American League. Nobody is going to be as bad as the Chicago White Sox, who are 3-21, but the fourth worst record around all of MLB. What is up with Houston?
Look, I put a tweet out yesterday. It's time, Houston Astros. Let's get back to the basics here. And I don't mean like, okay, let's bunt, let's hit with power, let's, you know, move runners along. I mean, let's get back to cheating here. That's what got us world championships, Ben. And specifically yesterday, the reason I felt obligated to put that out is, look, Reggie Bush cheated and got his Heisman Trophy back. Houston Astros, cheat and get your World Series championship back. It's so easy to do. Put the butt right here. Look, beep, 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 beep. Fastball coming in. Let's win baseball games, Astros. Yep. Come on.
Okay, so a couple of things there, because you brought up Reggie Bush and you tried to equivocate it, and I was on my flight yesterday returning from London back here stateside when that update came through and I finally got some Wi-Fi and I was 4 hours late. I'm like, oh, my God. Reggie Bush got his Heisman back? That is fantastic, especially in this current climate of the NIL era of collegiate athletics. Reggie Bush didn't cheat to enhance his on-field performance. An agent of sorts had some stipends or some cars or some gifts to his family. Very different than a team that had a sophisticated signal system to cheat and enhance its on-field performance, which is proven, of course. However, although I am not an Astros defender, they have also proven they can win at the highest level even without cheating in place, as they did a season ago and a season prior to that in winning a World Series. Now, for the Astros this year, it's been a struggle despite Jose Altuve, who homered again in the top of the ninth to make it a one-run game and make things interesting inside the friendly confines. He's batting 350 this year. He's doing all that he can. But the Astros are struggling. The Chicago Cubs are not. 9-3 right now at Wrigley. 15-9 to begin this season. Now a central focus in the National League. The Pirates hosting the Brewers yesterday. Pittsburgh had lost 6 straight games entering this 4-game set during the midweek against Milwaukee. They won the first 2. Milwaukee made sure they would not get swept yesterday on the road in PNC. A 3-2 victory for the Brew Crew over the Buccos. So Milwaukee gets its first victory of this series. All 5 runs in the game scored in the 3rd inning. Milwaukee played 3 in the top of that frame. The Pirates answered with 2 in the bottom of the 3rd. But that was it. And Milwaukee holds on for a 3-2 win.
Yeah, bullpen game effort out of both of these teams. You take a look at the starters here. Ben Wilson goes 4.1 innings here. You got Fleming there, 2 1/3 innings. So it was the bullpen holding on. The Brewers technically are a better club than the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates got out to that hot start here. Now we're seeing them cool off just a bit at 13-12. But expectations are the Brewers should have won that baseball game yesterday, and they did. But I love the fact that you see teams like the Brewers on the road, Ben, 11-4. That's awesome, man. If you handle your business on the road and just basically play 500 baseball, you're probably going to get into the playoffs, let alone playing at a clip of first 15 games on the road. We got 11 of them. That's pretty good here for the Brewers.
So with the victory yesterday, Milwaukee is a half game in front of Chicago for that top spot in the NL Central. 15-8. The Cubbies 15-9. The Reds 14-10. The Pirates, despite now dropping 7 of their last 9, are still above 500, 13-12 in the preseason favorite to win this division. The Redbirds are struggling. They have dropped, or they are 3 games below 500 at 11-14. St. Louis, again, entered this MLB season as the favorites to win the NL Central, but we expected the division to be somewhat competitive. St. Louis right now, plus 320. The Cubbies, the favorites, at plus 185.
Yeah, I don't think anybody runs away here. And it's similar, Ben, that when you take a look at the central divisions in both the American League and the National League, somebody has to win that, which means somebody's going to have home field advantage in round number 1 of the playoffs. So when you see some of those price points, like, ooh, they seem like they're a little bit bloated here. Yeah, because they are going to get a team into the playoffs. Now, who knows what wins, but typically it's the Milwaukee Brewers. Right. Starting pitching, great bullpen, timely hitting, and that will get it done here. But it's good here for the Cubs. But also keep in mind, Bellinger goes to the IL, I believe, with a cracked rib here. So maybe some of that momentum might slow down. But like what the Cubs are doing.
It's a big day in the city of Chicago. It's a franchise-changing day. The 2024 NFL Draft is today in Detroit. We'll talk about it when Hour 2 starts in just a minute.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up. Brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with a sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.